We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Wow, it was a big time game. So physical. And they're outstanding. A veteran team and big and... But our defense was outstanding. I mean, we forced 28 turnovers. The game plan that we had, you know, worked so well, and it worked so well because our kids practice it so hard. And the turnovers, like a key one, is Dotson, who he's as good a guard, really. He's one of the top three or four guards in the country, and he had one assist and six turnovers. And their big guys did not hurt us because of our double teams. And yeah, and then we used a lot of guys, which that's how we're going to play. You know, but the guy who really led us was Trey. You know, he had 15 points, seven assists, and his verve. Really proud of my guys. Boy, that's a great win for us.
And welcome in. It's the Duke Basketball Podcast as the Blue Devil season is well underway at this point. David Shumate, pleased to be joined alongside, as always, by Associated Coach John Shire. Coach, what's up?
What's up? Good to be here again.
Off we go again. Got a cool twist for you guys this week, and it's something we're going to do throughout the year. Going to bring in people around the program. And, Coach, a quick thought from you. I know this is something that's really important to you that we do this year because everyone sees the team on the floor and obviously sees you guys at practice and around the games, but it's so much bigger than that.
Truly, what makes our program so unique is the people behind the scenes. And, you know, we're bringing on a guy today in Dave Bradley. When you think of behind the scenes and a guy who does so much for our program, he's a prime example. He does a lot for us as coaches. You know, he wears a few different hats in a few different areas. But in terms of social media and branding in that regard, he's incredible.
Yeah, the creative director here for the basketball program. And as you said, messaging, branding, all the way across the board, oversees a team of really talented folks that do a lot of video production, a lot of graphics, all across the board. One of the really talented guys in all the sports, whether you're looking at pro or college. And a great discussion coming up and some feedback from him on how much love we might give to the manager games moving forward. So stay tuned for that. But let's talk about the team so far. Everyone hyped up after that win at Madison Square Garden over Kansas, 68-66. You talk defense all preseason. You weren't kidding. 28 turnovers forced.
Well, the defense was great. I think it says a lot about the work we put in this entire preseason. You know, our ball pressure, we talk about contesting one pass away. We did that at a really high level. And then we executed the game plan. That's something we've spent a lot of time this offseason talking about, how to make it as simple as possible for our guys, make the game plan simple, but also strategically what's in the best interest of our team as well. I thought we found that right balance in that first game, and give our guys a ton of credit. They did a great job of executing and following through with the game plan for 40 minutes.
I'm going to talk about Trey Jones in that game in just a second, but you mentioned the game plan, and you know, you got two really talented big guys inside for Kansas, and Azubuike and DeSosa coming back. You know, you guys double-teamed a lot in the post. As soon as they caught the basketball, it caused a lot of problems for them turning it over. I don't want to lift the veil too much, but how did you guys see that, and did it work out as well or maybe even better than you thought it could?
Yeah, I don't know if we expected to get 28 turnovers in the game, but we felt like it was just best to put pressure on their big guys and make them make plays. And, you know, sometimes you go into a game and with a certain game plan, and you're always – coach is always willing to adapt and adjust, you know, whether it be the first TV timeout or halftime or whatever it might be. But in that game, we felt like we were spot on with what we saw. We had the luxury of being the first team to do that to them, you know, and it goes both ways in that game. It's our first game. It's their first game. But we felt like there was something that was working. We stayed with it. And obviously it worked even better than we thought it could.
And then Trey Jones, I don't know what's left to be said. 15 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals in that game. But for me, the most impressive part, scores the final 6 points. You know all the minutes he plays, and in the final minute, he makes all 4 of his free throws.
Right. And, you know, it's not even his stats, to be honest with you. It's his will to win and how that carries over to the rest of our team. You know, he's got an amazing – I don't even know how to put words to a shoemate, but he's got this winner's mindset when he steps out on the floor where our team's going to win, he's going to impose his will, and it carries over to the rest of our guys.
You guys have been focused a lot here in the preseason about building this identity defensively, and let's pull it back and look at the first handful of games, really, beyond the game against Kansas. It's been very consistent. It's been very good, but it's been done in different ways, right? Kansas was much more in the half court. We've seen the press. The versatility of this defense has been very impressive.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, we're going to have to play different teams and different styles, obviously different players. You know, like the first game, we doubled in the post. We didn't do that the second game. And so little adjustments, you know, we will make throughout the season. The main part is our energy needs to be there every game. We need to have ball pressure. We need to control the ball. We need to have our help side defense coming over. Those habits need to stay there consistently.
I want to ask you about the progression of a couple of freshmen real quick before we get in our conversation with Dave Bradley. Let's start with, you know, this kid from Los Angeles that you see at prom practice. He's mild-mannered. He's very polite. And then he goes on the basketball court, and he's jumping all over the place and dunking, talking about Cassius Stanley.
Oh, yeah. You know, he loved the spotlight, you know, being in Madison Square Garden. And, you know, I give him credit. He's been really efficient thus far in the season. And, you know, he made some timely plays. I thought those back-to-back plays in transition, obviously the big dunk, that first one got him going, you know. And then I think he had that big corner three. But he's been, you know, really efficient, been playing both ends of the court. Great to see him doing that out there.
Vernon Carey Jr. as well has been awfully impressive here. Early in the season, had his first double-double against Central Arkansas, 17-10. And I think the game against Kansas, and you can see, at least from my perspective, him learning. I think in the first half, you know, you're trying to figure out in the college game how it's officiated. They don't call a lot of stuff inside. It's a battle in there. But you could see over the course of the game, he finally kind of turned the page and was like, you know what, I'm just going to go play and not worry about getting hit and stuff like that. And he seems to be playing so much stronger and so much more aggressive in the post really since that opening half.
You know, he actually, I think, started to figure out, I like that I can use my body. In high school, he wasn't able to do that. And now he can. So, you know, I think even as that game progressed, he was more physical. He's still figuring out how to use his body more. And to your point, the other thing is all of our guys are learning. You know, outside of Trey, and even Trey's still in a new position in terms of what we need him to do on the team, but all of our guys are learning. They're coming along, and we've seen in different games different guys step up in really in different ways.
One thought on an older kid before we go to our conversation with Dave Bradley. Cool moment. Justin Robinson, now a captain, one of the four group in the formation of a leadership council. Talked with Coach about this. He felt like it was time, something he'd done with USA Basketball. But J-Rob is clearly one of the leaders on the team emotionally and intellectually, and now it's official.
Yeah, you can't say enough about him. You know, he knows every play. He knows what we're looking for as coaches. He's not afraid to speak his mind. He helps get our guys organized in practice. Watch him at halftime of games. He's always talking to our players who are playing more minutes, things that he sees, different things we're looking for as coaches. Sometimes he's doing my job for me, to be honest with you. I get pissed at him sometimes at halftime because he's telling him something that I'd be telling him. But he's terrific. It's well-deserved and, you know, really happy that he's our fourth captain.
All right, a lot to get to. Let's get going with our conversation with Dave Bradley. Pleased to welcome in now the creative director for Duke Men's Basketball, Dave Bradley. He's the king of really everything when you look at content, social media, keeping John Shire in line. I mean, it really goes on down the line. We'll run through some of the numbers in just a second, but just want to start. I know you've been around the program for a really long time, and everything you do with social media, just kind of take us through for those that kind of don't know behind the scenes all the different hats you wear.
Yeah, well, I think the main thing in my time at Duke has been the evolution of our social media team, so you might refer to me as the king. I don't think that's fair. I started out as a one-man band, and now, you know, thanks to Coach Shire and Coach K, there has been a great investment in what we do, you know, from the highest level. So it's not just me trying to figure everything out. You know, we have me, but we have two full-time video guys. Duke Athletics has a tremendous photographer, spends a lot of time with us. You know, we have a great ability to get some great, amazing graphics done. So I think it all starts with the team and the investment. And we're sitting here filming this podcast in our social media lab, which is footsteps away, you know, from Cameron. So no other program has the infrastructure and the resources investment, I think, set up like we do. When you have that, you know, a lot of things are possible. So I hope the coaches on a daily basis with recruiting oversee kind of all of our messaging for social media and just make sure, you know, we are at the head of the line in college basketball and in college sports, hopefully, in social media.
You know, along with that, Dave, take us through since you've been here in terms of, one, recruiting, but also how you connect through our players. Obviously, when I was here, we didn't have social media. I sound so old when I say that, but it's true. That's factual. Just when you started with the Duke Blue Planet magazines to now where we're at in terms of the evolution of what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I started out, again, dating myself as well. I started out before, like, you could figure out how to do everything on YouTube. I would go to Barnes & Noble, you know, when I was a senior here at Duke trying to figure everything out. And, you know, now here we are. It all starts, everything that you like, do on social media all starts with access and trust. And I feel like I've always had that, you know, whether it was creating a black and white newsletter that became a color magazine that became a website for recruiting, which became a whole, you know, social media outfit. The coaches have always had great trust in me and confidence in me to be able to sort of take chances, run with it, figure out how to put Duke in the best possible position without having, you know, 17 committees or a lot of people worried about what we're doing. Trust, access, you know, and then, like, I mean, going back to when you were a player, we had a great relationship when you were a player, when Nolan Smith was a player. And then I think there's really good buy-in from the players, which you need. The reason why I've been the most successful is that the players have felt some level of ownership in what we're doing and interest in what we're doing. So then they get outside of, you know, player speak, or coaches get outside of coach speak, and you see the real side of Duke basketball. We've always tried to humanize the program and show, you know, the different side of all you guys. And that's, you know, that's why it's been, I think, so successful.
Right. The numbers are staggering. Over 4 million followers across a number of different platforms. For perspective, that's larger than, forget college, more than half of the pro leagues when you look across the country. And then last year, of course, over 1 billion impressions. That's the most ever for a college program. Data is obviously important, and platforms are important. But from your perspective, hearing you talk about it, feels more that it's content is what you're focused on. And then you go about figuring out which platform makes sense.
Yeah, I think I've always been, I think, pretty focused on like micro level successes and being really, really consistent on a day-to-day basis. So sometimes what gets the most attention is a flashy video that goes viral. And we've had a few of those, and a lot of people have had those. But I think what I'm most proud of is just that day-to-day consistency over the course of time. And, you know, whether Twitter was the most important platform at that time, or, you know, as Instagram has probably become the most important platform, we've always been front and center. And on top of that, on a day-to-day basis, literally 365 days a year. There's no, like, social media doesn't really obviously turn off. Recruiting for Duke basketball, recruiting just doesn't like go away. There's no vacation for it. And, you know, for a number of years, and we've been kind of on top of this every day. I think that's why the following has grown. You know, there's this attention to detail and a great team effort, great support from top to bottom.
Do you have some special moments that you look back on since you started here up until now? Obviously, hopefully there's a lot more to come, but that you're proud of and that have made a big impact.
Yeah, I think, you know, if there's one thing I would say, it would just be, you know, the relationships that I've built through this. And, you know, we can speak to our relationship, you know, and obviously Nolan's on the staff as well, where, you know, I was here when you were a player. I know every Duke player that's on social media now, they've all come through in the time that I've been here. So those relationships, the whole, you know, the whole brotherhood that we talk about, and we've made it maybe something a little bit more special through social media, but that's all real. And that, you know, for me, that started when I started working here, which is when you were still playing here.
Right.
So I would definitely say that, and to see, you know, see you guys, you know, become coaches and running things now. That's been really cool.
I feel like when you look at recruiting now, and Coach, get your thoughts on this, and Dave as well, but it's a holistic thing, right? You have the medical people that come in and show what they can teach the guys to do and take care of their bodies throughout the season. You guys are obviously working on the basketball side of things, but these guys, now they come in, and social media is a big part of what they're doing and building up their following and learning what they're doing. How important is it what Dave does, not just the content he produces, but the advice he can offer for these guys of how to build their own platforms?
Yeah, I can't even explain how important it is. And I think the thing that we do a good job of, Shoemate, is everything being in sync, right? Where our messaging, Dave isn't doing something on his own. It's all coordinated with how we feel as a basketball program, the things we're trying to do, the ways we see a person or see a player, and obviously, most importantly, how they see themselves. I think some kids, more than others, are into this. Well, I think they're mostly all into social media, or most of them are, but some take it more seriously in terms of branding themselves for the future. Obviously, we've had some guys leave here that have been able to do amazing things with their platform. But being able to capitalize on that, I think, while you're in that moment is something not a lot of people do. And Dave's advice and experience in that is key.
Yeah, I think that's definitely changed. That's been really cool for me here. Now, you know, every recruit comes through on an official visit, and I get the chance to meet with them. So we talk about relationships I have with these guys. It starts on their visit, and then it continues. You know, the first week or two when the guys are here on campus, we set up meetings through, you know, Nolan Smith, our ops guy. So we get a chance to talk to him for another 30 minutes or so. And the relationship continues. I'm around every day. You know, you see some programs bringing in a speaker, and we might do that too. That's always good. But this is, again, this is an ongoing deal. So it's an educational process for these guys from hopefully the recruiting visit, first day to campus, all the way through. And it's really valuable, like Coach Shire is saying. This is really relevant for these guys, whether they're into it or not. Most are into it now, but this is their best chance for the world to get know them. So in most cases, even for a Duke player, while they're at Duke, that's their best chance for the world to get to hear their story, see who they are. Unless you're Zion or Kyrie, right? Like, you have an amazing following, an amazing platform here. Social media, obviously all of our games on ESPN or many of our games. You got to take advantage of that. And we try to help them understand that, and we try to put our guys in the best light where it doesn't have to be all about them, but they know how to use their social platform. We know how to tell their story on a really individual level, put them in positions where they're successful. We're not going to have Brandon Ingram, you know, doing the same thing on social as Zion Williamson, who, you know, two different, very different personalities. We figure that all out. Hopefully educating them along the way. We're in practice, you know, we're on a team bus. It's just this ongoing conversation where they learn and I think figure it all out. So the time they're done here, they've kind of have a better feel what social media, what their brand is all about, and when they go on to the next phase, whether that's MBA or otherwise, they're in a much better position to take advantage of that. And then that's just going to open up doors financially, you know, job-wise, in a lot of different ways.
I also think, you know, Dave does a great job of this, and we in general. It's not about what's right or wrong, you know, on social media. It's not about this is bad, don't do this again, or this is. It's more about seeing it through different lenses and, you know, seeing different opportunities that are there for you if you do something, if you did it this way or if you did it that way. And that's where I think getting the perspective and seeing it through a different lens is key to what we're doing.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And in many ways, the common thread there, you talk about, you're covering the program, right? You're covering the Brotherhood, and I find it fascinating. Yes, covering the current team is a large chunk and a large piece of that, but covering guys when they go off to the NBA, but even a guy like Marshall Plumlee, whether military service, whatever it may be, that you still want to follow those guys, because once they're part of it, you're covering the program, not necessarily just an individual team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you sometimes like the Zions get the most attention, but it's every guy. Every guy has their own story. You know, every guy is important. And then I think what I really like about college basketball too, we have so few players. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only so many guys that you know, so you can really focus in and connect with these guys and help them on a deeper level than maybe you could if you worked in college football or for a pro team.
I mean, you guys obviously showcase everything that goes with this team, and a big part of that is a lot of the gear the guys get and the shoes that they have. And since Coach Shire is here and you can talk to him face-to-face, which coach has the best shoe game?
Wow. I wasn't expecting these difficult questions. It's going so smoothly. The best shoe game of all the coaches, you know, actually, I would have to say a tie. It's a tie between John and Nolan. And John has like more of a sneaky, nice shoe game. Nolan has a bit of a louder shoe game. He has, like, every day it seems like he has a new pair. But John has like a kind of a sneaky, nice collection that sort of fits his personality and vibe really, really well. Which that's the key. That's the key to the shoe game, right? You have to be able to pull it off within like your personality and vibe. You can't just go off and buy like all the latest off-whites and have that be your end game. So I would say it's a tie between those two guys.
I'll actually accept that answer. I thought that was a pretty good answer.
I did take some. I took a strong. I didn't just say it was a four-way tie. Like I named some names. Like we got into it a little bit.
How would you break down
your shoe game? I guess my follow-up question would be, who would have the third, you know, between Coach James and Coach Carwell? Who would you rate third?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably give Sewell like a slight edge.
Wow.
You didn't expect these questions when you came on, right? You're on the hot seat right now.
Tough. Yeah, these are tough.
All right, let's talk about MSG, the Mecca, right? A chance to go cover there. Coach loves that building. He was talking the other night about the factor. When you think about it, it's obvious, but you don't think about it straight out. Duke's first six games, 3 in Cameron, 3 in Madison Square Garden. Pretty good way to start the season. When you go to a building like that, a city like that, the games are obviously paramount, but how do you kind of structure – your coverage and everything you want to shoot and everything you guys want to do to kind of tell the story?
Yeah, we try to, you know, stay way out in front on these things. So we, you know, we had actually a meeting 2 days ago going over like creative concepts for the trip, and the fact that we were already there, we were able to, you know, shoot a lot, get prepared for the second trip. And then, you know, you think about all the great moments that Duke has had and try to come up with something new every time. I think, you know, the Garden is a place that all these kids dream about playing in. So the stories sort of, you know, write themselves when you go there. It's easy. You know, the city is obviously captivating. So, I mean, you try to figure out a different angle every time and come up with something unique. So we have a few tricks up our sleeve plan. We want to obviously you know, showcase coaches' success there. And, you know, we just unveiled our new, we're unveiling 6 new uniforms this year, one of which was sort of a Coach K tribute. And then we're going to wear those one of the games up there. So we'll want to weave that back through our storytelling and all that, too.
And I assume winning helps when you get to put it out as
yeah,
well,
right? I mean, absolutely. We're always in these big environments and we're winning a lot of the time. So absolutely, yeah. The even winning the, you know, Champions Classic against Kansas, that changes the, it's sort of an ongoing kind of story of the season, and every step of the way, especially a big game like that, can have a huge impact and shift kind of your next steps for literally the whole season.
Right, right.
You guys had one of those moments, I felt, as a social media team in the first game up Madison Square Garden. What's it like for you? I mean, I know the team success is one thing, but when you have a play like the dunk that Cassius Stanley have, where you have all angles covered, right? Nolan Ellenberg's got one angle, Stephen Ochoa's got another, and then you got Reagan Lund underneath the basket getting the perfect picture, and you guys were able to stitch all those together in one piece. I imagine that's got to be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I think that those moments are really fun, and that's, you know, where, as I'm like the OG social media guy, I get really proud. Cause I think of the time where I was like the one-man band trying to figure this all out, and we have a really good vibe, sort of a team within the team, you know, where we – and that's crucial for our success, you know, where our social media – team, you know, try to do some of the same team building stuff that like John probably tries to do with our guys. You know, you want everyone communicating really well. You know, it's a field and an industry that pushes people inward. Everyone wants to show themselves off and look at me and I did this video and, you know, what do you all think of my, we try to break some of that down and, you know, make sure, you know, we're all on the same page and those relationships are really strong. So when that moment happens, it's easy where, you know, a Nolan or it sounds maybe simple, but, you know, everyone involved in that moment, one, they got the shot, they're really capable, and then two, they're like happy to have it all be, you know, one or Nolan or Steven doesn't care that it's, you know, my video is not getting posted on its own. It was easy, quick text, we got all together, worked it out. Yeah, and it was great, did really well.
I want to give you a shout out right now, Dave, because if you watch our top plays after games, it's not like you're watching SportsCenter where it's just 5 dunks or, you know, 5 crazy plays. They're 5 great basketball plays. And so we'll show the extra pass. We'll show things that really are important to us as coaches. We actually do a good job of showing them on social media. I think sometimes that gets lost, but can you speak to what you look for sometimes when you guys are putting that stuff together?
Yeah, I think you always have to think about your audience when you're, you know, that's number one when you're trying to figure out a content strategy. And one of our, you know, obviously we're trying to target the age demographic of our players, but specifically like our current players are an important audience for us. And we want them to, I mean, we see that they're looking at this stuff. We want them to see, you know, the same things that maybe you guys are showing them in a film session. And obviously for fans to see that as well. It's not just about, you know, the flashy dunks. We're going to put those out at times as well. But and certainly more than that. And then I think this year has been really fascinating for me. You go from last year, you know, the design and RJ show and all the hype and, you know, the identity of the team so far has been very different. And I think you want to fit your social media content plan around that. And that's, you know, toughness, defense, playing hard. And that's always sort of those are always staples of Duke basketball. I think this year it's been another level. You know, we're playing a lot of guys and just playing a unique brand of basketball. We want to make sure we're covering that. We're not just all dunks and whatever.
Right.
Let you go on this. This is probably the most significant question I have. So Coach Shire talks a lot on our podcast about his success in the games against the managers. And I don't see any coverage on Duke MVB. And I'm starting to wonder if it's true.
I'm so glad you brought this up. Why haven't we covered this?
I mean, hey, do you have any insight into if he's actually winning these games or not?
I think he is winning. I sometimes wonder about, like, the teams that are set up. I'll walk by these games, and these hardworking student managers, and they become punching bags in these games, and the scoreboard's up. It's like 100 to 15. I'm like, what are they doing to these guys? I just don't think that's compelling content.
Wow.
I actually get that point. That's the one thing he could have said, but they're tougher than he gives them credit for.
No, and I was sort of kidding. I will say I've been here since Coach Collins and Wojo, and those guys really would stack the deck. I do see John. They do, John and Noel, and they massage the teams where it would be a closer game. They're going to win, but like Wojo and CeCe would like stomp these guys by like 90 points. I'm like, what are we doing to these poor kids? And like John and Noel, and they find like the right balance where they're going to have like a close game and then like pull it out at the end and over-celebrate.
The over-celebration is key. I'll tell you that much. That would be great content right there.
Amazing. Well, Dave, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you, DB.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, guys.
Well, looking forward to seeing the first video that comes from the manager game. It sounds like you got a chance.
It sounds like we're going to be waiting a long time for it. I don't know why they're trying to hide the great material. We need to
maybe a graphic or something.
At least a graphic. I know we're not moving as quickly as we think we are, but maybe some still shots, you know, some pictures would be nice.
If the managers ever do one, I'm going to ask them to do a cinematic recap.
That's what we need.
All right, well, the Blue Devils in the midst of the Empire Classic right now, but let's get our three-point shot up before we get out of here. Want to get your thought on one of the big storylines coming into the season, as every year is the rule changes. And two big ones, the shot clock resetting to 20 instead of 30 when you get an offensive rebound. But the other one, the three-point line moving back, and nationally not so much looking at the Duke side of things. It feels like guys have had a problem staying in bounds, particularly along the sidelines with the line moved back a little bit. You were an elite shooter. How tricky is that to find your feet out there and stay in bounds?
Well, I think it just takes repetition. You know, it's funny, in our games it really hasn't been much of a factor. But like you said, looking across the country, it really, I mean, it happens a pretty good amount right now. But I think once you start figuring out, you can't step behind you to get your rhythm in the corners. You know, you need to almost slide, you know, to get there. And so we've been working hard at it with our guys. They've done a great job adjusting. You know, the shot clock rule, when it hits the rim, going to 20 now, we have also haven't seen much of yet. But I think as the season progresses and games slow down, especially towards the end of games, I think that will be an important rule.
Get our second shot up and continue our looking back at Coach's 40 years here at Duke and his tremendous success in regular season tournaments. He's won 19 of them. You played in four when you were here at Duke, the CBE Classic, Maui, the 2K Sports Classic, and the NIT season tip-off, won three of those four. Take us back to a moment when you were in one of these tournaments with him of the intensity. So I know you told us a little bit about Maui last year, but something that stands out for you.
Well, I don't think this is what you meant to ask me, but the thing I remember most is, I guess as a competitor, sometimes you think this way, but I think the loss comes to my mind before the wins. And my freshman year, we lost to Marquette in the CBE Classic, and I remember that was our kind of welcome to college basketball moment. And, you know, Gerald Henderson and I had a moment on the bench. We were on the bench because we weren't playing well. And, you know, Chris Collins was getting after us. And, you know, it was just, it's a different level, you know, and when you're playing a big time opponent right away, especially in a preseason, any time it's a tournament game. And so that was kind of my welcome to college basketball moment, but also welcome to a preseason tournament as well.
For sure. Last topic before we get out of here, and I see it's a lot of practice, and you can go either way you want to here. You guys play as coaches different games and different stuff with the guys
right
after practice. What's your favorite, like, random shooting game that you've come up with?
Yeah, we play a lot, and actually we like to experiment a lot as coaches. Sometimes we'll get together and say, hey, let's try this, you know, see how it works, and we'll use it with the players after practice. And so typically what we like to do is get them a lot of shooting off the move, all different kinds of shots, and then kind of towards the end, like you've seen, we'll split up into teams and do some competitive shooting. So I would say two or three of my favorites. I know you asked for one, but I'll give you two. How about that?
That's perfect.
So I would say one is in a team setting, if you have a team of two or three, and you say, all right, you have to make five from seven spots, or you have to make a certain number from, you know, five or seven spots, doesn't matter, but you can't miss two in a row. You know, so all of a sudden you miss and I'm right behind you, that puts pressure on me. We'll have to make the next shot. And it's a good one. Also, I'm going to give you three, sorry. But
no, it's good.
You also, anytime you do a number in a row is really good. Every shot's important. And there's a ton of game pressure on you. Let's say we tell the guys, all right, you have to make five in a row from five spots. On that fourth and fifth shot, there's a lot of, you know, big-time pressure. You got to hit that shot so you don't go down to zero. And then one of my favorite ones, it's a great conditioner as well. I got Javin, Matt, and J-Rob on this the other day in practice, where you start at a certain number. So let's say you start at six, and you have to shoot. If you make it, it's minus one. If you miss, it's plus one. And so you got to get down to zero. And so they're running and doing it. But, you know, you miss two in a row, all of a sudden you're at eight. You know, instead of making two, you're at four. So big swings in that one. And I like shooting drills where just because you get down to one doesn't necessarily mean it's almost over. Like, all of a sudden you miss two in a row, you're right back at three. And so that's a favorite one as well.
It always cracks me up watching those, how the guys that are playing are sometimes more aware of the other team's score than their score. And it gets very competitive.
Tell us, you know, watch cheaters. Both sides say each team's cheating. And, you know, that's how it should be, though.
Well, it's a great start to the season for the Blue Devils, and we'll be checking in throughout the year. Appreciate Dave Bradley coming on. And, Coach, appreciate it.
Thanks, as always.